The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. You are listening to Why Do I Do This and Make Myself Angry on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast on X at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network and also at Gambling Podcast. And finally, also be sure to follow my other X account. That one is at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. I post my sports betting opinions on that account. I post free play winners, and most significantly, I post my profit and loss spreadsheet. I am a tracked and transparent handicapper. My latest spreadsheet is always the pinned tweet. All the others are there if you scroll down, or they're easy to find over at lockbetting.com, where you can also sign up for the additional plays. When you look for my spreadsheets, you'll see how to actually sensibly manage a bankroll. We don't chase losing plays with bigger stakes. You won't find Monopoly money terminology on there that's used on X, such as star plays, whale plays, play of the year, play of the month, play of the century, or max plays. Just real stakes for real people looking to enjoy this hobby more by making it profitable. If you have any questions, my DMs are open at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. So, two ways to look at this game. The first one's obvious. This was an absolute disaster. This was an absolute humiliation. This is absolutely unacceptable. The draw is bad enough. You can hear the phrase used by the commentator as Chelsea were attacking at 3-2 down. This is the last chance saloon for Chelsea to salvage a draw. And we let them salvage a draw. But to lose the game from that point is absolutely inexcusable. It doesn't make too much difference at this point whether we take a point or whether we take no points. 3 points is what we needed. But still, psychologically, that is a huge blow and looks very bad for Erik ten Hag to capitulate like this against Chelsea. The glass half full situation is we can't continue to blow games this late. We've now conceded 3 goals this week after the 96th minute, 98th against Brentford, 97th here, and then 101. We can't continue to do that. We have squandered 6 points, which we're unlikely to squander if we can remain a little bit more calm and competent at the back. And also, I was watching this game waiting for a TV screen at the bar. Where I was in New Jersey, and I requested a location where I could clearly see the TV as we put our names down to wait for a table. So I was watching this at the bar, and we went 2-0 down, and I gave up on the game. And I said, you know what, just fucking set us anywhere so we can eat. I thought the game was over. I could keep an eye on it from a TV that was farther away or further away or in the corner. And as a bonus, we got back into the game against expectations. So the fact that we were even able to claw our way back is a positive. The fact that I'd given up on a game and suddenly we were winning was a positive. Again, glass half empty. If Caicedo doesn't make that pass, the commentator actually says it was completely against the run of play. Perhaps Chelsea win this game by 4 or 5. And maybe that's the reality of the game. And in a sense, that highlights where Chelsea are at as well, where they can be completely controlling a game and then blow it and allow a team who aren't as consistent as the top teams, a team like Manchester United, get in front and look like they're going to win the game. So this, I think, exposed where both teams are at. This exposed the inconsistencies of Man United. It was a game I'd given up on, but then obviously once 3-2 up, there's no way I'm expecting us to not win that game, and it's inexplicable, and it's not acceptable at all for United to do what they did. The draw is bad enough, as I said, but 4-3 is just a complete joke. It makes Man United look like a joke. I'm not entirely convinced that was a penalty. Obviously, once you give it, you need clear and obvious evidence, at least according to these rules, which change every single week, to then turn it around. But I believe if it wasn't given and VAR looked at it, it wouldn't then be given. I just think Dallow slipped. I then think the attacker took advantage of the fact that Dallow slipped. But there doesn't look like there was actually any contact. It's certainly not enough to push him over. I heard Ali McCoist on our commentary saying that any contact at that point when you're running at that pace will knock you over. I disagree, because this would have been feather-like contact from Diego Dalot that would have knocked him over here in this instance. So don't entirely agree with that. Don't think it was a penalty. But either way, it's completely unacceptable to be under that much pressure, not being able to navigate that situation, letting players run past you like that into the box in the closing stages. Manchester United should have been good enough at this level with the amount of money that they've spent to be able to implement a low block and not allow Chelsea to get into that kind of situation where they're running at us. The only way you should be conceding a goal at that point is via a moment of magic or a cross into the box where you have players who are just simply bigger and better at getting their head on it, and therefore you just take it on the chin. They're getting crosses into the box. The box is packed. They've got bodies in there. You concede via that way. Or maybe there's contact in the box and you concede a penalty in the air through arms or a push. Not that it's acceptable, but it's more normal. Or just an incredible long-range strike or something off a set piece. Yeah, all acceptable. People running into you in the box and being able to do that, it's not acceptable. Brentford being able to also, in that same situation, make a cutback and find a way to finish, not acceptable. And I love Diego Dalot. He gives it 110% all of the time. But you have to question if he's in the bracket of players who aren't good enough to play for a Man United team that want to eventually challenge for titles, because that's not going to be happening in the next 5 years at the moment. And we're a million miles off. And I don't blame Ten Hag, but you have to question the manager when we don't hold on and get anything from this game. As I mentioned at the top of the show, you are listening to the Soccer Gambling Podcast, and in honour of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter. Enter for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. And attention, San Diego, Sean and Ryan are going to a special Circa Sports watch party starting Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. at Swing Social. Free drinks for anyone wearing Cubs or Padres gear. Grab a cocktail and say what's up to the guys while you're there. Let me also take this pause to tell you guys about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform in the US based and available in 40 states. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T, Cut with a K, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Let me also tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing app in the industry. Sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
Eric, you came so close to completing what would have been an incredible comeback. Are you scratching your head as to how you've lost that game?
Yeah, we started poor the game, giving the ball away, defending poorly on the first two occasions, but on that moment already you saw we were dominating the game. And yeah, we returned in the game. It was brilliant how we played. And yeah, we deserve to win this game, but you can't give it away like we did. And we have, as a team, we have, in that last minutes of the game, we have to manage this game better.
They equalised and scored the winner within 82 seconds. Who's to blame for that?
Yeah, of course, there's always, but it's a team performance. And of course, you can point to one of the players, but it's not about that. It's about team performance. As I said, as a team, in such moments when it gets chaotic, you have to deal with such circumstances as a team. And we didn't. We make wrong decisions. We didn't help each other in possession as well, keeping the ball. Go from one side to the other side, or to at least pass and move. And out of possession, we make bad decisions.
Lack of concentration?
No, it's not a lack of concentration. I think unlucky by the end, by the penalty situation, questionable, very soft. We have to do. We have to do in such situations. We have to do better.
Aside from those last couple of minutes of the game, overall in the match, you faced another 28 shots. Those kind of numbers, they can't be sustainable going into the rest of this season and going forward, can they?
It's ridiculous. We showed we were fourth ranking before this game, cause conceit. Everyone is talking each other after. So I can't do anything with it. And we are good. We have a good defending as a team. We have a great goalkeeper as well. We have a good back four as well. So I can do nothing with such stats.
In terms of the injuries, it's something that you've spoken about at length. But once again tonight, two centre-halves having to come off, both Varane and Evans. Does that rule them out of the game on Sunday?
I can't say in this moment.
And how were they looking when they came off? Did they look like serious injuries?
As I say, I can't say that. So quick after the game.
Well, looking ahead to that game now, you have not many games left. So what type of a setback was this result tonight in terms of what you still want to achieve?
It's definitely a setback. But we have to deal with this and to get up, and we will do. We are resilient, and you have seen today how resilient we are, how we returned into the game, how we, the quality of our football, how we can play outstanding football in moments. So really highs, but football's about results, and you have to bring it over the time.
We appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bruno, there are defeats and then there's games like that. Is that as painful as it gets?
Well, of course. We had the game in our hands in the last few minutes, and we gave it away. Obviously, it's frustrating. It's difficult to take. I think we even had good control of the game in the last few minutes. We could keep the ball higher up. Got some falls, got some throw-ins higher there. But they got two chances at the end and they scored two goals.
How did it fall apart so quickly?
And after the penalty, I think we good. Diogo got a little bit slap on the face and he went down. And I think, I haven't seen the replay, but I think when he goes down, maybe he touched him and it's probably a penalty, I don't know. Then they get the goal. And from the corner, we have to be much quicker and much aware, because we talk about that before the game, that they take corners and throw-ins very quick. We should be aware of that and we should be much quicker out.
Was it a lack of concentration then?
Yes, we can say yes, because we have to be, as I said, we are aware that they do goal kicks, throw-ins, falls, corners very quick. We know they have players with quality to play through, and they did, and they got the goal a little bit lucky, but at the end, you have to get that lucky.
We just spoke to your manager and talked about the amount of shots that the team are facing in matches. It was another 28 shots that you faced as a team tonight. For you guys playing out there, do those numbers feel sustainable? Because it almost feels like you have to go into every single game and just keep scoring so many goals if you're going to actually come away with anything when you face that many shots.
Yeah, I think in the last two games we conceded too many shots, but I think in the last game everyone was talking a lot about we conceded a lot of shots, but I think they didn't have many good shots on target, and I think Brentford, obviously, you know, they played for long balls and corners and they got shots from there, but not always was really dangerous apart the crossbar they got. Even today, I think we got some blocks, some good blocks. It's about defending your box with your life, so like in the last goal Scott tried to do, and unluckily the ball bounced on him and goes in.
As the captain then, what are you saying in that dressing room to pick these boys up before Liverpool on Sunday?
It's a big game. I don't need to say anything. If I need to say anything, there's a problem, because we play for a club that is massive, and we are not at the standards that the club want and we should be. So we know that we're going ahead. We're having ahead a big game. As every game until the end of the season is going to be massive for us. And we have to go game by game. We have to think about the present and not about the future.
Yeah, I've chosen to go with the reactions to the Chelsea game to get the raw emotions, because obviously that was an incredible letdown, a huge collapse. And I wanted to get the raw reactions rather than looking ahead to the Liverpool game, where everything's going to be very cliche. We need to pick ourselves up. This is a rivalry game. We don't need any help getting up for it. We're here to get the 3 points, etc. We're not concerned about what Liverpool are trying to do in terms of winning the league. Yeah, it's going to be all of that kind of cliche stuff. So no point really dwelling on that. Just wanted to get the reaction instead. We will look briefly at the Liverpool game, but I've already spoken about it on the Soccer Gambling podcast, so I'm going to keep it very brief, even though it's a big game. I've already spoken about how I just cannot see us getting anything from this game. The odds that the books have given agree with me. Before we move on to that, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys about Avo. We're proud to partner up with Avo, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically, betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. I am actually already aware of that. The Avo tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. That's a very big thing this weekend with WWE WrestleMania, by the way. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast, as speed is a big part of the arbitrage sports betting. The best part of Avo is It's currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, it's completely free. Get started today at arbsvsodds.com. That's arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsversusodds.com to get involved. So, as I said, we'll look at this game briefly, where Liverpool were the 8-13 favourites. It's 19-5 on the draw, and it's also 19-5 on Man United. When you're playing that way, and you are conceding that many shots, which was highlighted there, at nauseam, actually, you are not going to beat Liverpool. If you give Liverpool that many sighters at your goal, you are not going to beat Liverpool. And there's nothing else I can pick here. I've been very, very reasonable when picking Man United games. Very, very realistic. Very, very fair. Haven't let bias get in my way. The lot record this year for BetMUFC is just phenomenal. Last year, it was 10-0. Obviously, it would have been impossible to build on that. But 11-2-1 is what we've done with our locks. And I've really been sure about how the game would play out. For me here, Liverpool win the game. There's no other way to take it, especially off the back of Man United winning 4-3 against Liverpool last time out they played. This is a revenge game for Man United, ending the quadruple. United have actually played out two 4-3 scorelines in their last four games. But with as many as six first-team defenders out and likely to face a barrage of attacks and shots, I just can only see Liverpool winning this time. But I can also see there being a number of goals. Maybe not seven, but definitely four. And over 3.5 goals may be a different way to go. United's last five games have produced 22 goals in total, and three of them have featured at least four goals. While Liverpool have seen over 3.5 goals land in three of their last four competitive outings. So I like Liverpool on the money line, and I also like over 3.5 goals at even money plus 100. That's it for me and this edition of BetMUFC. Good luck with all your bets as always, and thanks for listening.